know if you saw, for those of you who are around my age, maybe you grew up seeing this. You know, the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air had a birthday this week. Anybody know that? He actually turned 50 years old this week. Will Smith did. And one of the unique things, he, for his birthday celebration, wanted to do something that would cause, you know, to help him overcome a fear, just to kind of celebrate and those kinds of things. Maybe you saw what he did. I don't quite understand this fear, but to celebrate his birthday, he and his family, he bungee jumped out of a helicopter over the Grand Canyon. Like, do you lay awake at night thinking, oh, that's a fear. I think I want to overcome that. I mean, does he not realize? I mean, wow. Speaking of, have you ever like seen, there's a YouTube channel called People Are Awesome. Chris Hall, our small group pastor, told me about it. So I went out this week and started looking at it. People Are Awesome. And it is amazing. People are truly awesome. I mean, kids to old folks, men, women, it doesn't matter. They're doing all kinds of crazy, I mean, acrobatic, athletic. The thing that is common for many of them are they're dangerous. I mean, they're incredible to watch, but I don't know if people really catch these folks, if they catch that one wrong move, and we're talking like serious injury. I mean, like to the extent that death could happen. You know, I'm looking at these YouTube channels, and then it leads me to another one where there are these, what they then call daredevils, as if that's not enough. One of the videos was a young man, he was a crazy man, I do know that. He was on top of like a 125-story building in Kuala Lumpur, walking along the edges with a GoPro or an iPhone, something, not harnessed in, just kind of walking around, balancing, and I'm thinking, the wind is blowing, and I'm going, does he know what could happen? I mean, people are crazy. I don't understand it. But you know, even in the midst of all of that, some of these risk takers and these daredevils, when you start reading about them, one of the things you find out is that they experience death in their own lives. We look at them and go, man, those guys, they face death, and they can stare it down, and they can move on. But as you're reading about, they've actually had people in their lives that have died doing these things. And they all say this, it causes me to have to push pause on my life and reevaluate things. I mean, death causes even the strongest of us to wince. We have to reevaluate some things. We have to look at some things. I want you to hear this, though. You don't have to be a daredevil to have to face death. And when we do, it causes us to reevaluate everything that's in our lives many times, or it should. Today, we're going to look, and we're finishing out a portion of a series, this series. You know, we started in the book of John back in last year, and we've been calling, it was called Jesus. We've gone into a new section where we've called it stuck, where maybe you've been stuck in your life, you're stuck in your faith, and how we can break free because of Christ and what he's done. John chapter 11, if you'll turn over there with me. In John chapter 11, we're going to see this today, is that we can be set free from death. We can be set free from death. Now, I don't want you to miss this. The odds are stacked that unless Jesus comes back, 100% of us in here, we're going to experience death. But I want you to know the scripture helps us to understand that we, though, can be set free from death. Yet though I die, yet we can still be free. And I want us to look at how this happened or how this can happen. And you're going to see a story from the book of John. We're not going to be able to read this entire chapter. And I'm going to encourage you today when you get home, go home and read this. This is, many people say, the pinnacle of Christ's ministry, prior to him being crucified on the cross. We know that was the pinnacle. But prior to that, this is the high water mark in the life of Jesus and those around him. And I want you to be able to go back and really look at this for yourself so that you can understand. I'm going to try to summarize. Jesus, last week we learned in chapter 10, Jesus had been teaching. And he talked about being the good shepherd and the sheep hearing his voice. Later in that chapter, he says that I and the Father, we are one. We are one. He equates himself to God. The temple leaders, they start picking up stones because they're going to stone him because that's basically blasphemy in that day. The scripture says that he leaves that area. He slips away. He leaves that area. He goes to a region on the other side of the Jordan where John had been baptizing. And there's great ministry happening there. It says, so then you come to chapter 11. In chapter 11, we're introduced to a family of people that Jesus loves greatly. It's Lazarus and Martha and Mary. And you see all throughout the Gospels that he has a strong love. In fact, this whole passage, even if you read through in verse 3, verse 5, and then in a little later, we'll see in verse 37, somewhere around there, everyone knows of Jesus' love for this family. Well, while he is away on the other side of the Jordan, Lazarus gets really sick. And in his illness, one that will eventually lead him to death, Martha and Mary send some messengers to Jesus. And they say, listen, the one you love, you got to catch that. The one you love, he is really ill. I need you to come now. Jesus sends back and says, listen, this illness will not lead to death. It will lead to the glory of God and to the glory of the Son of God. Jesus continues on there for two more days, wherever it is that he is, for two more days. And then after 2 days, Jesus looks around at the disciples and says, okay, boys, let's go. We're headed to Judea. Lazarus is dead. And I need to go there for your sake. So he gets to Bethany. Bethany is only 2 miles from Jerusalem. Bethany is probably where Jesus and his disciples would stay at the home of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus whenever he would come. So he gets to Bethany, and the scripture says that Lazarus has been dead for 4 days. He's not a little dead. He's a lot dead, okay? He's out. He's not asleep. He's dead. Well, at this point, we don't really know how Martha finds out, but, you know, word about Jesus travels. Martha gets word. Jesus is about to come into town, and Martha gets up, and she runs out to meet Jesus. She runs out to meet him. Now, I want to stop right here before we jump in. When people experience death, they do a lot of... And when I say experience death, not the one who has died, those who are left around. When people experience death, many times they do, everybody handles grief very differently. They handle grief very differently. And so have you ever been around somebody who's experienced grief and death and you're trying to figure out, what do I say? What do I do? How do I walk in the middle of this with them? Well, we're going to see today what Jesus had to say and see, is there anything for us in this, because I want you to hear this very clearly. Make sure you hear this. We, those of us who have followed Christ, who've submitted our lives, we've been set free from death. We've been set free from death. Today, if you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you can be set free from death. Though our bodies may die, we can be set free from it. So let's look here in John chapter 11, and I'm going to start reading in verse 21. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, had you been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. And Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on that last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live, and everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? Martha, verse 27, she said to him, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world. Now, again, people do very unique things when they are faced with death of those that are around them. And notice what Martha does. Martha, who The scriptures already told us Jesus loved this family, verse 3. Jesus loves this family, verse 5. Yet when Martha runs up to Jesus, the first thing she does, the scripture says, is she blames Jesus. Do you notice that? She casts blame on Jesus. And she says to him, had you been here? Jesus, had you been here, he wouldn't have died. Have you ever found yourself in that place where you're questioning Jesus? Where you, in your grief, you're almost to a point of where you are disparaging your, God, I don't understand. What are you doing? God, I don't see your hand. God, do you realize? God, what, all of these things that come to the forefront. Martha, she casts blame there at Jesus, but I catch this. Look at it with me. She doesn't stop there, though, but in her faith, she is at Jesus, with him. All of a sudden, Jesus, but I know that even now, Jesus, had you been here, he wouldn't have died. But I want you to know, Jesus, even now, Jesus, if you ask God, he'll answer you. He will answer you. Folks, let me ask you something. In the midst of your grief and pain, do you trust that God hears you? Do you trust that he hears you? So oftentimes what happens is that we equate listening with doing. If what I want done, if I tell God something and he doesn't do this, then he's not listening. I want you to hear me. He always listens. He always hears you. Why? Because for those of us who have surrendered our life to Jesus, he loves you. He loves you. See, Martha didn't get stuck in the blame game here. She didn't get stuck there. Seeing Jesus made her respond in some sort of faith to say, Jesus, I know that you and God have a very unique connection. You are the Son of God. You are the Son of God. And even now, if you, God, even now, Jesus, if you will, God will hear you. And Jesus reassures her, and he says this to her. He says, listen, your brother, he's going to rise. And Martha says, I know he's going to rise in the last day. When the resurrection happened, he's going to rise. I get that. The way this is written, though, there's an inference in how she says this, that she's saying, I know that's going to happen, but I want him now. I'm not ready to let him go. I need him now. And then Jesus does something very unique. Jesus makes a very, very, very clear proclamation of the gospel. In fact, he makes a very significant statement about himself and equating himself to God. Look with me at verse 25. Verse 25, Jesus said this, I am. That is an equating. I am. God said when Moses said, who am I going to tell Pharaoh is sending me? God said, you tell him I am. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. Though he die, yet shall he live. In verse 26, for us, and everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this, Martha? Do you believe this? Notice Jesus declares something here. Jesus makes a definitive declaration. He says, I am the resurrection, and I am the life. I'm not a way to life. I'm not a way to the resurrection. He says, I am it. It's me. And all who trust in me, Martha, everyone who trusts in me, they've already experienced the resurrection. See, Martha didn't realize. She's not catching all of this. She doesn't realize that in just a very short matter of time, minutes, literally, she's going to see her brother again. So Jesus is having to recenter her. And he says to her, listen, Martha, you got to understand this. In me, there is resurrection. I am it. I am the resurrection. I am the life. I have come, and even those who have died, if they've believed in me, they're going to live. And Martha, I want you to hear this. Because you believe in me, you'll never be separated from me. You realize what death is, don't you? Death is separation. separation. Many of us feel like this body, maybe this is news to you, but this body is going to die. It's going to decay. In fact, for some of us, it's decaying faster than we want it to, right? Jesus says, listen, though your body is going to die, your soul, the eternal part of you, this body just houses the eternal part of us. You realize that you're already living in eternity. The question is this, where will you spend it when this body dies and decays? And Jesus said, listen, though your body dies, those who've surrendered their life to me, they are alive today. And he says, those of you, speaking to Martha, Martha, listen, though you believe in me and you haven't died, you shall never be separated from me because you have trusted in me as your Savior. Did you realize today that there are those in this room, you've never surrendered your life to Jesus Christ? And I want you to hear me. If you've never surrendered your life to Jesus Christ, this is just a direct, definitive statement, then you should be scared of death. Because when we die, if we have never surrendered our life to Jesus Christ, then we will spend an eternity separated from Jesus and from the Father in a real place called hell. And I want you to know that today, you don't have to fear death. You can surrender and submit your life to Jesus. Jesus, I believe in you. I trust in you. And though I am alive today, if something were to happen, my soul is with you and I trust you. And we want to help you walk through that. We want to help you walk through that. Notice what Jesus says to Martha. Martha, he says, Martha, do you believe this? Do you believe this? And Martha makes a very strong, definitive confession back to him. Jesus spoke definitively to her, and she responded in like kind. Notice what she says in verse 27. In verse 27, this confession can be your confession of salvation today. This confession can be your declaration that I am free from death. She says this, Martha said to him, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ. I believe you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world. Today, I want you to hear me. There is no other name under heaven. We've sung a lot about the name of Jesus. It is a strong name. It is a powerful name. But I want you to hear, there is no other name given under heaven by which men, women, boys, and girls can be saved. It is only in the name of Jesus. And when we confess, yes, Jesus, you are the Son of God. You are the living Son of God. There is no power, no name except for yours. The scripture tells us that he takes up residence and we become his. You see, no more fear, no more need to be for death. Yes, this body will wither away. One day they're going to put me in a ground. But my soul, the scripture says this, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. No need for fear. And I want you to hear this. For those of you who are alive in Christ today, I want you to hear this. Listen to me. You have no fear of death. You have no fear of death. You don't have to worry. Listen, this isn't a call to like go walk along the edge of a tall building. This is not a call to play with your life. This is a call to let you know that because we have no fear of death, we are set free from death. Those of us who have surrendered our life, that means we can live out our true purpose for Christ. And some of us in here today who have followed Christ, we're afraid that God's going to ask us, Jesus is going to ask us to do something that might put our life, our dreams, our hopes in jeopardy. And I want you to hear this. All of our life, all of our dreams, all of our hopes, when you came to Christ, they should have died because we are no longer ours. We have been bought with a price. We are his. And so where he says go, we go. When he says do, we do. Yet though I live, I have no fear of death. Why? Because I am alive in Christ because of what he has done. So, what ends up happening? Martha gets up, she runs back into town. I don't know how far it was where she, I mean, the scripture is very clear that Jesus had not come into town yet. So she runs back to town. She gets to her sister Mary, who was still in the house. In the house, there are all of these people mourning. Now, again, what we know about this family is they had to have had some means of wealth, all right? They had to have had some means of wealth because the scripture tells us that we believe when Jesus came to Bethany, this was his home base, their house. We know that Martha or Mary is the same woman, according to, I think, verse 2 of chapter 11. She's the same woman who took a very expensive ointment and broke it and poured it over Jesus' feet in worship. And the scripture tells us that was an expensive, that was like a year's worth of wages, all right? So this family had some means. Well, in that day and time, custom would have been this for a Jewish person who was going through a time of death and mourning and the burial time. They would have had to have professional mourners who would have come. Custom was that depending on your wealth and things, you had to have at least two mourners who would come and one flute player. Because of her great wealth, this family's great wealth, many commentators believe that there would have been a spectacle going on at the house. There would have been people weeping and wailing and music's being played, a dirge on the flute. It would have been something, it would have been crazy. Martha runs in. Martha runs in. She bends over. She whispers to Mary, "The teacher, he's asking for you." Mary gets up and she starts running. All the people, the scripture says, believe she's headed to the tomb of Lazarus, so they are going to follow her. What they don't realize is that she's going to see Jesus, so they just follow her. And the scripture says that Mary gets to Jesus. Mary gets to Jesus, all right? And I want you to look at what Mary has to say here. Verse 32, now when Mary came to where Jesus was, she saw him and she fell at his feet. I want to stop here for a minute. You can leave that on the screen. Here's what we know about Mary. If you look wherever Mary comes into the picture in the scripture, Mary is the same Mary of the Mary and Martha that when Jesus was teaching, Mary, it says, was sitting at Jesus' feet and her sister Martha was up scurrying around taking care of the chores. We've already been introduced to Mary as the woman who, when Jesus, it'll be in chapter 12 when we start back up, when Jesus comes into town, she takes a bottle of ointment, and she pours it on Jesus' feet in an act of worship, and she cleans it up with her hair. And this tells us that Mary, when she, in her grief, she ran to meet Jesus, and what did she do? She fell at a place that she was well acquainted with, the feet of Jesus. Let me ask you something, those of you who have surrendered your life to Christ, when's the last time you fell at the feet of Jesus? I mean, literally, on your knees, maybe beside your bed, laid out, Jesus, Jesus, you make the darkness tremble, and I need to see you. I don't know what to do right now. Jesus, I need you. You're the only one who can intervene here, and I need you. When's the last time you spent time at Jesus' feet? And I want you to hear this. If you've never surrendered your life to Christ, there's no other way to come to him other than his feet, his nail-pierced feet. Jesus, I submit my life to you. Look what she says. Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Does that sound familiar to you? Didn't Martha just say that? What that leads me to say or believe is that they must have been talking. They probably were in their home. Listen, let's send the messengers. Jesus is going to get this answer, and he's going to like hop trot on. He's going to be here, and he's going to take care of things. Day one goes by. Day two goes by. Where's Jesus? Won't he get here? Lazarus has died. Jesus, if you were here, Jesus, if you were here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus saw her weeping, And the Jews who had come with her also weeping. He was deeply moved in his spirit, and he was greatly troubled. And he said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Verse 35, you probably can quote this verse. You may not have known the address, but the quote is, the verse is, "And Jesus wept." So the Jews said, "See how much he loved him?" But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man also have kept this man from dying?" You see, Martha also does the exact same thing. Mary does the exact same thing that Martha does. She blames Jesus for not being there. Have you found yourself in that place before? Have you ever found yourself there? John tells us that Mary was weeping. Mary was weeping. Tears are flowing. We know that the scene, even around Jesus at that moment, out just outside of town would have been crazy. People wailing, music being played. And the scripture says, John says that when Jesus saw it, he was deeply moved and he was troubled in his spirit. Those words are only used a couple of other times in the New Testament. And they mean to be stirred up and disturbed. Jesus, that's not positive emotion. I want you to know that. The way that's written, it's not positive. Jesus is angry. Jesus is upset at this. He's there and he is like churning on the inside. And the reason that he's churning is that his motives have been questioned by the very people he loved the most, Martha and Mary. Three times it says that he loved them. He loved them. They knew the people. He loved him greatly, and yet they questioned him. Jesus, if you'd have been here, Jesus, why weren't you here? Even verse 37, the Jews say, listen, he could heal a blind man? Couldn't he have healed this guy also? And in the midst of this, Jesus is, he's in turmoil. He's upset. He's angry because he's being questioned. The reason that he's angry also is he's angry over sin. Why do we have death in the world today? Because of sin that entered the world. He's angry. Do you realize that Jesus is angry over sin? He hates sin. He loves us as his people. But he hates sin because of what it does in our lives. Listen, now I want to make sure that you're clear on this. He didn't hate Martha and Mary. He didn't hate Lazarus. He loved them. But he hated what sin had done in their lives. And it disturbed him greatly that death had done this. Jesus hates death so much. He hated death so much that he stepped into this world and took on death. He killed death so that we don't have to be afraid of death, so that we don't have to experience death. Yes, our body will die, but my soul will live forever because I've surrendered my life. Because you, if you've surrendered and submitted to him, will live forever with him. The scripture in verse 35 says Jesus wept. Now, this is a unique word. This isn't the same word as was used with weeping. This word, many commentators will tell you, the illustration is of a horse that is snorting. It's a snorting kind of anger and tears. He's crying. He has tears where the professional wailers, they're just moaning. He's got tears that are flowing. The way I describe this, have you ever used the term or seen somebody and thought, man, that's an ugly cry right there? I mean, it's like that. I mean, he is gasping. He is angry. Maybe you've been like this where you were so angry at something that all you could do was cry. And tears are just coming. And why is Jesus angry? He's angry because the world that he created is broken. The sin that is in the world. And yet, what happens with us many times? Let me speak for me. Yet oftentimes, I find myself just playing with sin, trying to figure out how close to the line I can walk. You probably aren't there. Proverbs speaks about the man who takes fire and plays with it in his lap, thinking he will never be burned. Listen, Jesus hates sin. He hates sin because it's not how he created the world. And what did sin bring into the world? It brought about death. It brought about death. So Jesus is weeping. He's crying. The emotions that he's feeling right now are very complex. My friends, who I love, they're hurting. They're experiencing a death that I never meant for them to have to walk through. This is not how I created the world. I hate sin. Satan, this is what you've done, but you will not have the last word. I want you to hear me. Please hear me. Whatever you're walking through today, whatever pain you're in the midst of, please listen to me. Our Father, he hears you. He knows. He has not turned a blind ear. He may not move like Mary and Martha wanted him to move or expected him to move. Maybe he's not moving like you're expecting, but I can promise you this. He has not turned. He has not turned a deaf ear to your cry. Sometimes all we can do is cry out to the one. Jesus, I need you. I need you to move. Jesus, I don't know what to do with what I'm feeling. You do, and I give it to you today. And I want you to hear this. Because of that, we have no fear of death. Yet though I live, I'll never experience separation. Those who have died in Christ are seeing him today. This old body is going to decay, but my life will never be lost. Let's finish up verse 38 and following. Verse 38, Jesus said, then Jesus deeply moved again, same words, came to the tomb. It was a cave and a stone lay against it. Does that sound familiar to you? Does that sound familiar? Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of the dead man said to him, Lord, by this time there's an odor, for he's been dead 4 days. And Jesus said to her, did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? If you go back to verse 3 and 4, that's the message that he gave to the messengers to take back to Mary and Martha. So they took away the stone, and Jesus lifted up his eyes, and he said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I have said this on account of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me. And when he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. When the man who had died came out, his hands and feet bound with linen and his face wrapped with a cloth, and Jesus said to them, unbind him and let him go. So here we have the scene set. Jesus comes to the tomb. It's a cave. It's got a rock, a big stone rolled in front of it. Jesus, I wonder if Jesus is thinking, in a few short days, I'll be in my own tomb. Jesus looks at him and he says this. He says, roll away the stone. He told those men, women, whoever it was. He said, roll away the stone. And Martha looked at him and said, Jesus, Lord, no. He's been dead 4 days. It's going to stink. There's an odor. No, don't do it. And Jesus reassures her. He says, listen, I told you this death, this sick illness will not result in death. Now I want you to know, you're going, how's that happen? That was earlier in the chapter. How's that happen? He died. Well, listen, Jesus, they had to walk through death to get to the glory of God. Usually in the Bible, usually in the New Testament where you look, or in the Old Testament also, what you see is that Jesus doesn't remove us from situations. He walks with us through. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I walk through it, not around it. He says, I'll fear no evil. We have no fear of death. He says, listen, roll that stone away. Let me ask you a question. Do you think the people who rolled that stone away, you think they ever forgot the smell? You think they, I just read it, so you know that Lazarus is going to come out. Do you think they ever forgot seeing him come out? It says he was bound up all over. You think they ever forgot? Do you ever think they ever forgot where they were, what they were doing the day that Lazarus found life? You think they went home and just said, hey, we got to shut this thing up? No, I promise you. I don't know if they surrendered their life to Christ. I don't know if they began to follow him. But I can tell you this, on that day, their lives were forever changed. And they saw life come. And for those of us in this room who have experienced Jesus Christ, you have found life. And I think in many ways we forget about finding life and we don't do the second part. I think they went and they told everyone, you're not going to believe what happened today. And they can describe it, the smell, the sight. Folks, listen, have we grown so, I don't know what the word is, with our own life of finding life that we're not telling anybody? Listen, we're about finding life and living sent. And when we get over finding life, we quit living sent. And these folks, their lives were changed. They were changed because of that. They had seen new life happen. Notice what Jesus says here. Jesus says, it says at that point, he looks up and he says, Father, you always hear me. I know you do. Notice he didn't ask him to raise Lazarus from the dead. He just says, Father, you hear me? I know that you always hear me. Thank you. The reason I'm saying this out loud right now, God, is because for these people around here, you remember Jesus telling his disciples, let's go, boys. I got to go heal Lazarus for your sake. Why did he heal Lazarus for their sake and for those around? So that they might believe. So that they would see the glory of God. Folks, you want someone to see the glory of God, you start living a life that is free of death. And you start walking and talking about Jesus, people are going to find life because you've found life. People are going to start going, there's something happening with them. Lazarus, he cries out. Notice he didn't say, hey, everybody, come on out. No, that day, he called a very specific name of a very specific person. In fact, the scripture says it was a certain man named Lazarus. Matthew Henry, one of the commentators, ancient commentators, said, had he just said, come out, everyone who was dead would have came out. That's the power that Jesus has. Today, in this very room, I'm giving you a general call that some of you in here, you need to know Jesus Christ as your Savior. But I want you to know that there are some in here. This is what you're hearing right here. Wake up, Mary. Come out, John. Bob, get up. And that is the call of the Spirit on your life, awaking you to life. And he says, I want you to get up. Lazarus, come out. And today, listen, I want you to hear. Jesus is calling some of your names today. A certain name, a specific name. And at that, I want you to know, life is found in that. I want to invite you to come back in just a moment to the Next Steps area. We want to talk with you. We want to help you know how to walk through that. Because I want you to hear, when you surrender to him, when he calls your name and you say, Jesus, I'm there. The reason you can call you can say I'm there is because he awoken your life right then. And today, it's about stepping into obedience and saying, I have no more fear of death. Yet though my body die, I don't fear it anymore. Because I am now alive in Christ. The scripture tells us that Jesus told them, unbind him, take off the grave clothes. It said, unbind his feet, unbind his hands, take the covering, the face covering off. Today, there are people in this room, you're walking around and you're still bound up. You're stuck. Your feet feel bound. They're bound to go to the same places they've always gone. And you're wondering, why can't I get away from there? Your hands are doing the same things that they always do to get you in places you don't want to be. You're walking around blind because that death cloth is over your face. And today the Spirit says, you are free from death. There is no reason you think my life stinks. I'm dragging around this old flesh, this dead flesh. I want you to hear me. you could stop. The Holy Spirit wants to set you free. Jesus wants to set you free today from death. And all it is I surrender. There is no other name. It's in the strong name of Jesus that we get free from death. Free from death. Believer, walk like you have life, because you do. You've been given life, and you are free from death. Yeah, the body's going to die. Listen, I read this morning in my quiet time, don't fear the one who can take your body. Fear the one who can cast your soul into hell, it said in Luke. Listen, if you're in Christ, can anybody cast your soul away? That's been done. He's clean. He's free. She's free. Today, if you don't know Jesus, we call you. There is life that is found in Jesus. And we want you to experience that. We want you to have that so that you, though this body will die, don't have to fear death. We're set free from death because of Jesus. Father, we love you. We honor you. Jesus, I pray that today, if there's anyone in here who does not know you as Savior, they've never surrendered their life. Father, I pray that today you would set them free from death. God, I pray for the believer in here who still feels like they are bumbling and stumbling and don't know what to do. They feel bound up by those death claws. I pray, Father, that you would cut those off of them and they would walk away from it. They would leave them at the feet of Jesus today. Holy Spirit, today, would you do what only you do? You point people to Jesus. You remind us of his words. And today we know that in him there is life. And though I live, I don't have to die if I'm in Christ. I thank you for those who have gone before me, who have lived faithful lives, who today are before you. They've died in Christ. Thank you. Today, may that be something that happens in this room. You call people to life. You awaken dead men and women today. For it's in the name of Jesus we ask these things. Amen. Won't you stand and sing with us?